Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Voices from the Grid. I'm your host, Pink Ranger Brian Massey, joined as always by.
I thought you were introing me. Hi, it's Blue Ranger Mike.
Sorry about that. It's been a while. We're a little out of practice, right?
Sure. Sorry about that. I mean, it's not like we did a panel or anything together a couple months ago at Awesome Con or anything like that, but sure.
Yeah. It's been a while. So, Mike, thank you for joining me. Today, we're going to be talking about a two-parter that rips off a Rick Moranis film from, I want to say that came out in what, 1988, 89?
Something like that.
Yeah, Honey, I Shrunk the Rangers parts 1 and 2. I can give you the Ranger Wiki synopsis real fast here. At a charity cleanup drive, Divatox's latest monster, Shrinkisect, flies into the Blue Centurion's head and makes him go berserk before shrinking him, and then shrinks Tommy, Cat, Adam, and Tanya to the size of bugs, who then get captured by Divatox. While aboard Divatox's submarine, the four Rangers discover that they will permanently turn into actual insects if they don't return to normal size as soon as possible. So they try to make their escape while Justin, the sole unshrunken Ranger, searches all of Angel Grove for both his micro-sized teammates and Vulcan Skull, who are driving a car with a soda can loaded with one of Divatox's detonators. Okay, so that's a lot of information. So let's kind of go ahead and start with the questions here that I've got for you today, because there's a lot. So first and foremost, what did you think of all the special effects and like set design on this episode? Because I felt like there was a lot of attention to detail that was put into these episodes.
Well, I think that they had to, because this was technically the last real hurrah of the team that we're currently seeing with Tommy, Adam, Kat, and what's her name?
Tanya.
Tanya, yeah. So yeah. It's like it's the last time we're actually seeing these four in actual peril, and so they need to make it like kind of like a high stakes, and if it wouldn't be high stakes if you actually put very little thought or effort into the production of said episodes.
You don't send off the team that's been around for a while, especially with like someone who's been around since season one, by just having a random fight in the park.
Let's want to go out. Let's be honest. You have somebody who's been around since season one, someone who's been around since season two, someone who's been around since season three, and someone who's been around technically since, I mean, Zio. We're not going to really say they're around in season three because, well, Tanya really wasn't. So it's like, yeah, you have to do better proper send-offs for those four. But like, and then like, we are going to get like technically the real send-off in the next two-parter. But like, this is, I think, the last time that they actually take on a full-blown mission, if I remember right. I haven't watched the Passing the Torch episodes just yet for note-taking, because we're not there yet.
I haven't either. I mean, this definitely feels like the last episode of, like, a doctor's, like, run before he regenerates, or she regenerates. It's kind of the same, like, gravitas, if you will. So I definitely agree with you on that. It was a nice, like, final actual adventure without, like, focusing on, here's the replacement. So it was nice. I got a question for you, because I don't think that this was actually explained in the episode, but how is it that the Rangers, when shrunk, begin turning into insects, but then Blue Centurion didn't? Is it because he's a robot? How do they know that they're going to permanently be bugs?
Well, I don't know if it was actually properly explained, but the thing is that, you know, I guess that was part of the spell of shrinking them. I mean, Blue Centurion, that's a robot. I ain't worried about robots. Robot ain't going to turn into a bug unless it's like a transformer or something like that, or a mobile suit Gundam or whatever. But
RoboCop.
RoboCop, yeah.
This is basically RoboCop, but whatever.
But the thing is, though, is that when you look at the Rangers, it could be more the spell of like, well, what's a better way of getting rid of the Rangers? Well, shrinking them, yeah, that's one way of doing it. But then the other thing is that, you know, sure, they can escape and find a way to make themselves grow. But if you put them up against the clock and say, okay, if you stay shrunk for X amount of time, as we were seeing in the two-part special, you start becoming an insect, and you see them like get the insect hands, the wings, you know, the antenna, you know. So it's like it's kind of putting them on the clock of like, oh, we gotta reverse this. So
I mean, fair enough. I just wish that there had been some kind of like line that was given by anybody that wasn't the Rangers to explain like, oh, by the way, like have fun turning into, you know, like it just like. Like the Rangers just kind of assume that. And I'm like, well, I guess, but like.
Okay, repeat after me. This is a kid's show.
This is a kid's show.
It's not supposed to make any sense at all.
Okay, just say to yourself, it's just a show. I should really just relax.
Yes.
Gotcha. Okay. Coming to you from the satellite of love, everybody.
oh, and for the record, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids was 1989.
Gotcha. I had a feeling. The one I saw in theaters was Honey, I Shrunk the Baby.
You mean Honey, I Blew Up the Kid.
Or Honey, blew up the Baby. Or Blew Up the Kid.
Blew up the kid. Yeah. It's gotcha. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Honey, I Blew Up the Kid. And then Honey, We Shrunk Ourselves.
That was, I think, a directed.
That was the directed VHS one that starred a very young Mila Kunis.
I had no idea.
She was one of the friends that was there for the party.
Gotcha. I think that was like one of the last things Rick Moranis was in. Anyways, back to Power Rangers. So how effective is Shrink-a-Set? And also, like, is I guess it's Shrink-a-Sect, but it always sounded like they were saying Shrink-a-Set to me. I didn't hear the sect, like insect part to me.
I mean... I mean, the monster, I'm just going to call it the monster, as I call every monster in Power Rangers, the monster. Shrink-a-Sect. I mean, he's successful in screwing up Blue Centaurian, which is good, but then he's also given a mission with a soda cannon bomb, which he completely fumbles and falls into the hands of Bulk, of monkey versions of Bulk and Skull.
Yeah.
and then, Yeah, I mean, the monsters, I mean, and if I remember right, the monsters shrunk the Rangers too, I believe. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just, you know, the monster did his job, and then it failed.
Now, I will say he seemed like in the Zord footage, the Sentai footage, that he was killed off really easily by Blue Centurion Zord. And I swear to me, that felt like there was so much happening with the American, because there was so much American footage in this episode that it felt like by the time that like they got to him fighting in the Zord footage and they killed him off, it was like, well, in the Sentai footage, did they like find a way to defeat him that they just forgot to mention in the Power Rangers version? And that's kind of what it felt like.
Maybe.
I mean, I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. I mean, I don't think they did. They show him on like the viewing globe thingy at all beforehand, or
I don't think they did.
If they didn't, then it's completely irrelevant on that point.
Yeah, but, this episode, by the way, has footage from episode 22 of Car Ranger, the tragic traffic rule habit. So if you want to check that out for yourself. I have not had a chance to watch Car Ranger yet, but I'm still fighting for traffic safety. So, so let's talk about Bulk and Skull for a second in this episode. Because Bulk and Skull are monkeys in this episode, and I had no idea.
And they have been for a while.
Yeah, but and I completely forgot that this was going to be like the last time that they were monkeys. But they drive a car, they steal garbage. They inadvertently, like you said, were carrying around a bomb the whole time. And then they're turned invisible by the missile shot from Divatox's sub, which we'll talk about. What did you think of them and Lieutenant Stone in this episode? What did you think of Lieutenant Stone pulling a Josh Brolin from the Goonies and taking a little girl's bike to try and chase them down?
So, lo and behold, never seen the Goonies.
You've never seen the Goonies?
Never seen Goonies. Never really been openly that interested in seeing the movie.
Oh my god.
I know, shocking revelations. Everyone should just start booing me right here, right now. Mike, but anyway,
how are we friends, Mike?
for other reasons than Goonies.
I know. I'm teasing you.
But anyways, it's the Lieutenant Stone, or just at this point, I don't think he's even a lieutenant anymore. I think he's just Stone at this point. Or Jeremy Stone, or whatever his first name is. Jerome Stone, or whatever his name is. But at this point, you just cursed.
I did. Sorry.
It was kind of muddled, so I don't have to do much editing. But what's it called? But that's such a cliche thing that we've seen several times. We've seen it in cartoons. We've seen it in other movies. We've seen it not necessarily with a bike all the time, but like this, like, please give me your car. I need it for police business. Or it's like, it's just a cliche thing. I mean, I get it because they're trying to do the comedy bit, you know. Does it work? Yes. Because seeing a grown man on a little girl's bike is kind of funny.
And seeing monkeys is always funny too.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know. I mean, this was the era of like Dunstan Checks In and whatnot, but you know, I think it's hilarious that like all of a sudden, like now they're invisible. I was like, did they like lose the lease on the monkeys or something? And like now they just have to like, you know.
I think that was always the game plan, because like they probably had something planned where it's like, okay, for a while they're going to be monkeys, and then they're going to have the spell worked on in some form or fashion, but it becomes, you know, but then they become invisible for a while, because I think this is the time that they're still trying to figure out if Bulk and Skull are going to be getting their own TV show still.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, they don't.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was trying to make a joke when I was watching that episode, where just like, there was only one set of footprints in the sand. And I was like, I'm not even going to bother with that. But like, it was just, like, really? Y'all are going to make him invisible now? Okay, cool.
Obviously, it doesn't last long.
Yeah. And then they, like, later on, they become even more obnoxious. It's insane. Bulk and Skull in Turbo, I mean, they there's a reason why they're doing what they're doing. But, like, man, I cannot wait to get to In Space with them. The Rangers use creative methods to escape the villains aboard the sub. What was your favorite part? I really love Divatox getting her tongue shot, then driving the RC car and going down like a sewage pipe and like fighting off an eel. Like, I really loved like all this miniature stuff. It was just really fun. What was your favorite part of that?
I like the one where Divatox catches Tanya with her tongue.
Yeah.
That was kind of funny. I do actually have an interesting note here. You mentioned how the Rangers escape through the pipes. I love how Tommy and Kat did all the work.
Yeah.
Like, Adam and Tanya, completely useless. They just did all the work.
Just sitting there watching. It's like, come on, hurry up. Come on, chop, chop. We got to get out of here.
Yeah, and then... Oh yeah, but not only that, but then they also had the thing where like they're dealing with like their own like monsters, but like more natural monsters. Like, they ran into eels.
Yeah.
Shortly after they got their antennas. And then one of the funnier part was when they ended up in Divatox's closet and she loses a contact lens.
I had no idea she wore contacts.
It's like, even bad guys need to have perfect vision to when they try to take over the world.
I was expecting so hard for her to like lose a contact and be like, oh man, I can't see through the periscope. And her pulling out like a pair of like glasses from high school that were like really outdated, you know, and like her just wearing these really dorky, like taped up glasses or something. Cause it's like, oh, I don't wear those anymore, but all right, it's an emergency. I love, by the way, too, that like she, She called them the Mighty Morsel Power Rangers when she was trying to eat them. I was like, oh, that's cute. Okay.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I did like that.
So I got a question about the can exploding subplot.
It exploded. What subplot do you need?
Yeah. How pointless was that?
I mean, you had to get rid of the bomb somehow.
Sure. And like, I guess it added some suspense, but like, it felt
Well, not only that, but the other thing that you're forgetting is that it's the prelude to Bulk and Skull shifting over from the monkeys to invisible, because evidently whatever was part of that spell, like, they had to do like a good deed. What do? While they're in the Turbo Megazord, or the Rescue Megazord, or whatever the hell the thing's called, Bulk and Skull are fighting too.
Yeah.
Like, they're fighting as well, like on the beach or something. So it's like, you know, so there's a you technically are having two battles happen at the same time. So
yeah, well, fair enough. So I guess my last question for you is, the way that things are wrapped up is that the Rangers conclude that the missiles that Divatox uses to make her monster grow, they can set one off and hitch a ride via, like, you know, what's that movie? I can't remember the name of it all of a sudden. Dr. Strangelove, basically, you know, and they can, you know, basically when it crashes, they'll grow big. And they kind of come to that conclusion. What did you think of them doing that? Like, I guess it kind of made sense.
I mean, you'd assume so, because they need to, if that was the way that shrunk them, then obviously you have, if you, like, we've always seen this in Power Rangers, where if you destroy the thing that, like, does the thing to you, that's how you reverse it. So yep. It's kind of like in that same essence in Power Rangers of that.
Yeah. I get that. I mean, it's kind of the same way. And I guess, like, them being more, like, they can withstand a, they can withstand a torpedo blast, hopefully. But I don't know. I thought that was a lot of fun. There were so many, like, practical effects and so many little things that they did that, like, even the more nonsensical stuff, like, and it's Power Rangers, like, there's nonsensical stuff all over the place, but, like, it was a fun episode, and it's obviously one of the more fun episodes of Turbo that I've seen so far.
Yeah, no, it definitely is, because it's, like, also one of those very few episodes, especially with this current team before we do the switchover in the next episode. This is like the last real time that this team actually faces like legitimate danger since as I pull up the episode listing, since like maybe the movie.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of them aren't as, like, you know, as like, oh my god, this is so bad. Whereas, like, when you get into the switchover, you at least have more stuff, but that's also because you're trying to establish these newer characters that have taken over the roles of the Rangers. So yeah. It's like, and that's how it kind of feels. It's like, okay, we kind of like have just kind of dragged our feet for a bit. Let's give them one last actual thing to put them in peril, like, legitimately.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was a nice send off for, you know, the team that's been around for a while, and like, little did we know that, like, they were gonna be gone next, you know, because, like, it was never announced. It's just kind of like, the way that it worked back in the day was, like, you were just watching, and all of a sudden it was like, oh, by the way, we're going to drop this on you. Bye. So.
Deuces. Later.
Yeah. Let's see here. There was a note in the Ranger Wiki, by the way, about how there was a different episode that was meant to be the mid-season finale, but we can talk about that later if you'd like.
I mean, It had a completely different title, which was Rangers in Concert.
Yeah.
Which was originally meant to be the mid-season thing. And let's see, is there Rangers in Concert on the list? I don't think so.
Yeah, it looks like that was an episode that was written, but then...
never done.
Yeah.
Because I don't see on the episode listing that. So it's something that didn't even happen, but apparently it would have focused on Carlos and Ashley and Lieutenant Stone's niece, Jenny. But the thing is, though, is that the problem with that is that, like, oh, wait, hold on, I'm trying to read the entire, Tanya's intern would be introduced, who was a prototype of TJ. And apparently, and show Tommy, Cat, Adam, and Tanya the full Millennium Message, which was a few episodes earlier, revealing Michael, Ashley, Carlos, and Missy, which was the original name of Tracy Lynn Cruz's character, as the next team and the ones who, Carlos was really supposed to be called Chavez, which I'm kind of glad they didn't call him Chavez. That was getting weird. And the ones that saved the world from the United Alliance of Evil, but the script was scrapped following the departure of Doug Sloan and Ann Austin. However, passing the torch works on the possibility that the retiring Rangers did see the full Millennium Message, though.
Interesting.
But it also should be noted that Ashley and Carlos don't appear in part two of the episode. Oh, and Jenny Hunter's original name was Ashley.
Oh, gotcha.
Or Jenny Hunter, who's Lieutenant Stone's niece, so...
Okay.
No such thing as continuity.
Well, what do you think of TJ originally being named Michael?
I mean, it's a wonderful name. I mean, yeah, you can never go wrong with a name called Michael. I mean, no bias whatsoever at all. I mean, I don't care. I don't care. It's a name.
That being said, Mike, thank you for joining me for this. Do you have any other thoughts, or do you have anything else you want to talk about before we get to plugs?
When did Power Rangers Angel Grove have a freaking mayor?
I don't know.
Because they were cleaning up the park again for Clean Week again, and apparently the Mayor Carrington showed up, and it's like, and like the notes say, this is the final appearance and acknowledgement of Mayor Carrington. When was Mayor Carrington ever acknowledged before?
I didn't vote for her. Also, like...
I didn't vote for her. She's not my mayor. Now we go into a Monty Python bit.
Who won the Beautify Angel Grove contest? I need to know. It's not important.
It's not important at all.
Not important. But that ballet... That ballet... program though. This was an interesting episode.
Yep.
Mike, where can we find you on the World Wide Web, sir?
You can find me on Twitter. Yes, I am still calling it Twitter. I'll never call it by whatever Elon wants you to call it. At the Linemon 75 for as long as it's still up and available when this episode airs. Facebook at X75 Productions. Twitch doing the gaming thing at twitch.tv/TheMichaelX75, and of course everything is on the website at txhthockey.com/X75Productions. And nice. Of course, for the show, you can go to Twitter at @VFTG_PR, and we have a link tree which you can click on the link right there on our Twitter account, because it's easier that way.
This is the way.
Brian, what about
as for me, you can find me on Twitter. I also refuse to call it X, at Wondering Geek. You can also
just call it X. What's wrong with you?
Anyways, it's soon to be my X platform. But I'm Tish. You can find me there. You can also find me with the Castwave guys over at castwavestudios.com. You can find me on TikTok. I'm still on TikTok at BlueRangerB_Rye. I'm still the Blue Ranger on there, but I'm the Pink Ranger here and seemingly forevermore. But as Ben says, there's nothing wrong with pink. So with that said, Mike.
Our next more phenomenal episode. May the power protect you.